Stand, ladies and gentlemen. Almighty God, we pledge ourselves to work in harmony for the social, cultural and economic well-being of our rural city. Help us to be wise in our deliberations and fair in our actions, so that prosperity and happiness shall be the lot of our people. Amen. The Horsham Rural City Council acknowledges the five traditional owner groups of this land, the Wadjabalik, Bugaya, Jabbagog, Jagwa and Jawajali people. We recognise the important and ongoing place that all Indigenous people hold in our community. We pay our respects to the Elders, both past and present, and commit to working together in the spirit of mutual understanding and respect for the benefit of the broader community and future generations. Please be seated. Welcome, councillors and staff, and also to the members of the gallery tonight and the media to our ordinary council meeting. My name is Councillor Mark Radford, Mayor of the Horsham Rural City Council. I advise the public that tonight's council meeting will be recorded to maintain an audio archive. Item number 4 of the agenda is apologies. Are there any apologies for tonight's meeting?
No, Mr. Mayor.
Item 5 is leave of absence requests. Are there any requests for leave of absence? Thank you. Item 6 is the confirmation of minutes. The minutes of the ordinary meeting of council held on the 25th of November 2019 and the special meeting held on the 9th of December 2019. Recommendation there, councillors?
So moved.
Been moved by Councillor Clark, thank you. And seconded by Councillor Goldman, thank you. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Number 7 on the agenda tonight is a conflict of interest. Are there any declarations of conflict of interest? Councillor Roberts.
Yes, item 9.2 Community Halls, close association. My wife's a member of the committee of the Taylor Slate Hall.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Robertson. Any others? Councillor Goldman?
Mr. Mayor, item 9.1, it mentions my residential address to a degree. I've also declared it before.
Thank you. Good. Thank you. Any others?
Mr. Mayor, I'm going to declare a conflict of interest in 9.7 Councillor Media Policy. My conflict is an indirect interest, section 78 and 78B. My daughter Jessica is the editor of the Wimmermail Times, a store on our ask page.
9.7, thank you. Any others? Okay. We move now to item number 8 is public question time. Public question time is allocated at the start of the meeting before the formal agenda by Council. Questions must be submitted in writing to Council by 5 p.m. on the Friday prior to the Council meeting, and standing orders will be suspended for question time to allow more informal discussion to take place. Could I have a mover to suspend standing orders, please? Moved by Councillor Power. Thank you. Second by Councillor Coney. Those in favour? We move now to item 9, the Council Agenda, Officers' Reports. 9.1, Horsham Rural City Council Open Space Strategy.
Thank you.
The purpose of this report is to note proposed changes to the draft Horsham Rural City Council Open Space Strategy and adopt the updated Horsham Rural City Council Open Space Strategy as presented.
Yes, so many of the recommendations presented in the agenda.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Seconded by Councillor Clark, thank you. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Not too much to add to this, but this did come up at the last council meeting and I did move a supplementary motion. And I want to appreciate the work of Mr. O'Brien for addressing my concerns, principally around reference to the McBride Street, particularly the indoor sports precinct, and it, to adopt this policy had a lot of reference to that, so it needed some wordsmithing and some changes to get the document right. That's been done. I've been through it, reviewed it in consultation with Mr. O'Brien, so I'm happy to support it now. I would say that it is a fairly large document, and it does encompass broad parts of the municipality. It's not only city-based, but I did pick up the anomalies, and there's no point putting out strategies that are incorrect right from the day dot, so I appreciate the opportunity to withdraw that, make some amendments to that, and represent the council.
Thank you, Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Until this plan was adopted, we really had no guidelines, we had no principles or matrix or framework to work with the community or developers or people in our whole municipality to make sure that we have a strategic direction at the way we manage our open spaces. If a developer comes in and wants to put in a residential development, we now have grounds to be able to say, well, we think you, as part of that development, we need community areas for our community to be able to have recreational space and green space. So it's really important. We now have a document that fully lays out all of those areas, which is really important for this council.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers? I'd just like to reiterate what Councillor Clark said. The importance of this document cannot be underestimated. Council has never had an open space strategy before, and those of us who have been here for a little while can think of those examples where, from a planning point of view, we missed out, if you like, in setting aside a large amount of open space than we would have liked to. This gives us the strategic justification to be able to stand up in a place like VCAT and say, this is what this council, this community wants, and it will give us guidance into the future. As Councillor Grimble said, it's much wider than just Horsham, it is the whole municipality. We had good engagement from all around the place, and particularly for some of our smaller communities, and I think it's a great step forward, and I would commend the recommendation to you all tonight, councillors. Which I'll now put, all those in favour? Against, that's carried. Thank you. Councillor Goldham, the two recommendations were passed unanimously. We move now to 9.2, which is the Community Halls Committee of Management annual meeting. The purpose of this report is to receive and note the draft minutes of the annual meeting of the Community Halls Committee of Management and adopt the recommended fees and charges and other recommendations from the committee. Yeah. And Councillor Robertson's having a Tosca. Thank you. And the councillors, is 5 past to the recommendation.
Happy to recommend
that. Moved by Councillor Clark.
Move the recommendation, thank you.
All right, thank you. It's been seconded by Councillor Power. Thank you. Councillor Pan Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I was Mayor when we first got the Hall Committee together, and it was such a vibrant group of people. And what we tried to do was to take away all the onerous responsibilities of running a small hall. And many of them were Section 86 committees, which meant they had to do all these annual reports and all this planning and all this paperwork just to maintain their little halls. And it was just becoming so onerous, insurances and maintenance and so many other things that they had to try and deal with. So we brought all the halls together and we said, we will take on a lot of these responsibilities. And we also took away the onerous responsibility of Section 86 and took away those responsibilities from them as well. So it made it very, very easy for them to run their halls. But now we've got everyone together, we've come up with some really good ideas, or this group has come up with some really good ideas about how we can better manage these small halls. Some of these halls are the centre of these little communities. we went and visited MITRE just recently, and once a month they have a gathering where they all bring food and they have a theme night or they do something special, and it just keeps the whole community together. But every hall is managed differently. Every hall has its own issues, its own way of running, its own fees and charges. So what we've tried to do is actually bring that all together and make it easier, so there's a range of fees that they can charge, and all those things come under our insurance. We're also looking at sometimes the biggest fee that a hall has, or biggest charge, is actually their electricity bill. It's huge for some little halls when they don't have any real income. So what we're proposing is to put solar panels on all of the halls that we manage. So there's been some terrific outcomes out of this committee and out of the group and working with council, and there'll be some uniformity. Some of the real gripes are the toilets. They have a little toilet that sits outside their hall and people drive past and use the toilet, then they have to go and clean it up. They have to use their own toilet paper, their own cleaning products, all these things. So we're now saying that we'll give each of the halls some money towards those things to help them to manage their toilets as well. Some don't have external toilets, others do. So really this is a great way of helping these small community halls. It doesn't take away the importance of volunteers and the importance that volunteers are to these little halls, because they wouldn't manage without them. So I commend and congratulate all these little committees that look after their halls for their communities. It's sometimes a big job, and they're all dedicated, but they're all getting older too, a lot of these little committees. So this is something we can do to help these small halls out in these small communities, and I think this is a great proposal.
Thank you, Councillor Carr. Councillor Power, before you speak, folks in the gallery, can you hear okay? Doreen, could we turn the PA up a little bit, please? Thank you. Councillor Power.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'd just like to back up what Councillor Clark has spoken about. I think it's fantastic. One big word that comes out of the Community Halls Committee of Management is volunteers. These halls, each and every one of them, from Jung out to Tawangatakos, from Laharam right through to Pimpinaya, all these halls are built and run by people of those small but very effective communities. And the word that gets spread about all the time is volunteers. So I think this actually says congratulations to all the volunteers and how we can help those volunteers and actually help the volunteers keep on managing these halls. Hopefully we can encourage younger people to take over from where us older generations are doing so at the moment. If we can encourage younger people to move to the smaller towns in our communities, that would be fantastic. So this is a congratulations to all the volunteers out there, each and every one of them, that put in their own time and their own effort into these community halls. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Are there any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Green.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I think in the past the local government probably hasn't supported community halls in the way they should. They really are the bread and butter of the work we should do. We should provide more funding. So this report, and ultimately what the committee of management are looking for, will certainly assist. There's no question about when you drive around and you look at how halls are maintained, it gives you some idea about the strength of the volunteerism in district districts, and you do see some in other areas that are quite dilapidated and fallen into disrepair, and we're lucky in the fact that there's a lot of pride and a lot of volunteer hours put into the community halls, which is a good thing. The report doesn't address some community spaces which we need to have a look at how we might assist those. And when you look at the 10 halls listed, there's a few that we're aware of that probably require some assistance to quantify for a community space but don't fall into the category of a hall under this particular charter. They do require some assistance, particularly in relation to dot point 5, where it talks about maintaining toilet facilities for the general public. There's no expectation that the hall committees should provide public toilets clean and user-friendly. They're there for the local hall users and for functions, but they do get used quite regularly, and at times there's some local volunteer support needed to keep them clean. So I think providing toilet facilities, whether it be toilet paper or clean products, is a good start. And it does recognise that there's a lot of man hours put into maintaining what is really, what, again, I consider to be bread and butter work at local government, is having a mechanism to support the maintenance and ongoing operations of public halls, because they are so important.
Thank you. Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Are there any other speakers? I'd just like to say that we chaired the Narajua Hall AGM last week, and although it's not on this list, everything's been said tonight applies for that little community. It's a memorial hall, so it has significant heritage value as well as the community use. But yeah, as has been said tonight, the small little community group, I think there were six of them there, which they're all elected under the committee, as you can imagine. But they do a great job, and so certainly I think this particular program, this road we're walking down as a council to improve our halls and support those volunteers, is a good thing. I think it's important to acknowledge, as Councillor Clark's mentioned, the idea to install solar power on each hall. And I must acknowledge it was Councillor Robertson's idea when he first came on council. We've made some inroads there with some assistance, some grant assistance. And so that's something that certainly will benefit all of the hall committees. And we know, even if you don't use any power, just even paying the service charge can be quite an impost. And so that's a great, that's a good initiative. Happy to support tonight's recommendation, which I'll now put. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Josh, could you just tap on the door for Councillor Robertson, please? All right, thank you. Councillor Robertson, the recommendation as listed was passed unanimously.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
9.3, it is the Domestic Animal Management Plan. The purpose of this report is to adopt the Horsham Mineral City Council Domestic Animal Management Plan 2017-21, which relates to Appendix 9.3A, which has been moved by Councillor Powell, thank you, and seconded by Councillor Koenig. Thank you. Councillor Powell.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Domestic Animal Management Plan. Okay. Anyway, the Domestic Animal Management Plan. It's been put together by our fantastic staff. Something that we've needed in relation to animal management around Horsham City for quite a while. The ladies and gentlemen that put this together have gone into a fair amount of work just to put this report together for us, to show us as councillors and also the community what needs to be done, what can be done, and what is being done at the moment for domestic animal management. So I congratulate the staff for putting together the report for us, and I urge all councillors to support the recommendation. Thank you.
Thank you, Councillor Power. Councillor Coney.
No, thank you.
Are there any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers?
Mr. Mayor, I've just got a question that relates to the figures in the appendices.
Sure.
And maybe the hand is over Mr. Mayor to make it easier for you, but on page 8, in 2016-2017, dogs returned to owner was 23, then it escalated up in 17-18 to 343, and 18-19 to 330, which is quite a significant increase. And I just wonder why that is the case. It might be a question I noticed, but it seemed to be either microchipping's working, or there's a lot of dogs that are out loose and being returned for whatever reason. So there's an opportunity to comment, that would be good.
Thanks, Mr. Mayor. There's probably a couple of reasons for it, and I think we've always had a really good relationship with the rehousing groups, and now we have two rehousing groups that we're working with, and they come along to our advisory committee meetings, so we have that good relationship there. I think the other thing is that, particularly over the last 18 months, we've actually revised all of our systems and actually the way we go about capturing our data and you know all of our service requests are now recorded, and I think we're now actually getting some more accuracy into that, and I think the more we go along in this, the better our data will be, and it will help us focus on where we need to actually undertake education and get involved in other sort of community engagement activities in terms of doing the best for these domestic animals.
Any further comments or questions, Councillor Moore?
Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Councillor Gold.
Sorry, Ms. Murphy is probably on notice, but it mentions on page 14. It mentions in one of the first parts, just above the recommendation, it says overall safer some initiatives, and then it goes on. I was just wondering what specifically are some initiatives? It's probably a notice.
Thanks, Ms. Mayor. I think the main one is around how we actually go about our community engagement, and I think, and in fact, we had one lot of feedback once we put this plan out for consultation, and the feedback was that we should do some more work with the Horsham Dog Obedience Club to do some promotion in that space. So we need to be finding ways to educate our community, and you'll find throughout the plan that it does talk about not only the local laws, but in terms of complying with legislation, and in terms of even people reporting dog attacks, which we haven't had a lot in that space recently, but I think we've taken some through the prosecution process. So I think the more that we make people aware of that, the more that they do report, the more we can do in that space too.
Thank you. Councillor Fox.
I'd just like to say this group are such a passionate group. Anyone that loves animals is usually very passionate about how they're protected, how they're looked after. The rehousing has been an amazing project for this council and for the volunteers that work. I'm personally involved, friends with a couple of people that are very involved, and I often get a phone call, won't you take a dog? No. or a cat? No. So they're very passionate, and the work they do is just incredible. Trying to rehouse animals into the community, back into the community, is not an easy task. And they take them into their home, they bring them back to health sometimes. I know they take puppies when the bitch has died, and then they raise these little puppies till they're big enough to go out to families. So they do some amazing work, and I really like to commend the work they do. And this plan was from them. This is not from council, this is for them. This is what they do, this is how they do it, and this is what they want from us and the community.
Yeah. Okay, thank you, Councillor. Right. Any further speakers? I'd just like to add a couple of comments, and certainly acknowledging the dramatic change that's occurred probably in the last maybe 5 or 6 years, the way the council does deal with domestic animals. It's a really big turnaround, and that's been largely driven from the ground up. Acknowledging the work of Horsham Paws, that whole rehoming program, and has been very successful. I do pick out two statistics, that 80% of dogs are now registered, but only 50% of cats. So there's obviously a challenge there for the group, and also picking up the numbers too, Ms. Murphy, on the dog attacks. But I think it would be fair to say that this is a really important interface between council and the public, anything to do with dogs and cats. We've had some staff changes, some people doing different things now, and I think we're on the right track, and for looking after our four-footed friends. So happy to support the recommendation tonight as we adopt the domestic animal management plan. So I'll put that recommendation now. All those in favour? Against? That's carried. Thank you. Item 9.4 is the 2019 Horsham Aerodrome Master Plan and Development Strategy. The purpose of this report is to receive and note findings from the review of the 2010 Horsham Aerodrome Business Plan and the technical audit of the unendorsed 2016 Horsham Aerodrome Master Plan, and present for endorsement the next steps, which have been identified as necessary to protect the development potential of the Horsham Aerodrome through a planning scheme amendment. So, councillors, there's a recommendation here, three parts.
Mr. Mayor.
And, okay, four parts, thank you, Sue. Councillor Robinson.
Mr. Mayor, I'm happy to move that the recommendations be accepted with some amendments.
You'd like to move some amendments, Councillor Robinson?
Correct.
Happy to hear them?
Yes, certainly. The following amendments by reference to, and the term that's used is unendorsed Horsham Aerodrome Management Plan 2016. The amended, we're appearing to read, rejected Horsham Aerodrome Management Plan. I think it's just a typo, Mr. Mayor.
So just replacing where it says unendorsed to use the word rejected?
Correct.
I just want to clarify.
Yes.
Ms. Frankham? Yeah, thank you. That's one, yeah.
The second point is that the strategy listed for the 2019 Horsham Aerodrome Management Plan and Development Strategy have as its first dot point, and there are a number of dot points, Mr. Mayor, but the first dot point in aviation always has to be safety. So the first dot point should read operational safety. We're appearing, and that includes in section 4C the multi-criteria assessment to identify preferred runway extensions. Operational safety should be the first dot point there.
Okay. So we'll just clarify that. So who is there, Sue? Operational safety goes there. Yeah. And that also applies to number 3. Is that right? Before current uses?
Yes. Like
the words operational safety. Thank you.
The third dot point, Mr. Mayor, on page 23, long-term vision and future role. Include a statement recognising the importance of Horsham's north-south runway in the regional context. And the purpose of that, Mr. Mayor, is it's the most significant north-south runway in this region and probably the only one that's capable of being expanded to.
Before you tell us why, can you just tell us and read it out again, please?
Yep. So on page 23,
yep.
Long-term vision and future role,
yep.
Include, in inverted commas, recognise the importance of Horsham's north-south runway in the regional context. And the last point, Mr. Mayor, the approach slope for GPS vertical navigation, where mentioned, and typically it's mentioned at 2%, be amended to read 1.6%.
On number 4, Councillor Robinson.
It appears, I think, on more than one occasion and also in the appendix, Mr. Mayor. So
all references to OLS data, the OLS approach data.
So it appears in 4C on page 21.
Mm-hmm.
It appears in long-term master plan, but on page 24.
Yeah, all the references, yeah?
Correct.
Yeah, okay. So I just want to capture that. Mr. Harrison, will you be able to, can we put this up?
Yeah, sure.
So people can see what's going on.
Yep.
Are you happy?
I might keep it. I think I've got it. Thank you.
Councillor Robertson will just trickle through them, make sure we understand, everybody understands what's happening. So whenever the word unendorsed appears, you're suggesting that it should be rejected?
Correct.
Yeah? And then just trickling down the page, we're including the words operational safety, both at number 3 and also down at number 4. Yeah?
On page 20, starting with 3A, the new A becomes operational safety.
Yeah, yeah.
So that just continues.
Alright.
And on page 21, 4C, first dot point, the same applies.
Yes. Yep.
And
we talked about the OLS.
Sorry, and on page 22, under discussion, first dot point, insert aircraft operational safety.
Yes, so Councillor Robinson, we haven't got the discussion, it's just the recommendation we're focusing on. And you just wanted to check we've captured your OLS, correct up there?
Correct.
And the final one was a statement about the importance of the north-south runway.
With a spelling error on nought.
Yep. Okay, thank you.
Correct.
Can you take your seat, please? We'll see if we can get a seconder. So that's been moved by Councillor Robinson. Does anyone have any questions, yeah, to understand?
Mr. Martin wants to make a comment.
Yes. Before he does, I just want to make sure we can understand what's been proposed. Yeah, Mr. Martin, do you want to make a comment?
Mr. Mayor, comment on the 1.6% item. It's a fair bit, it's a fine point of detail in relation to the CASA standards in relation to the aerodrome. I'd suggest that the 2% is correct. The 1.6 is a dot point that relates to any new obstacle. It's in the same part of the table, which Councillor Robinson is referring to. I think there should be reference to the appropriate technical standards for that matter, rather than being too prescriptive in what is defined in the recommendation. The technical standards cover what Councillor Rock was saying, but it's a matter of fine detail, which...
Yeah, could I just comment on that?
Yes.
Yeah. Certainly understand where Mr. Martin's coming from, but the position with the 1.6% slope is where you're going to put a new approach in, instrument approach. If there's no obstructions in the way, then the standard to use is 1.6%. If there's already some obstruction that's in the way that would penetrate that, 2% is okay.
You're not prepared to change it, and that's okay. So we need to get a seconder, right? And then we can debate it, okay? I think that's the best way to deal with this. Does anyone want to second Councillor Robinson's motion?
So seconded.
Thank you, Councillor Grimble. Now, Councillor Robinson, if you'd like to speak to your motion, please.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I think the first point I've made probably speaks for itself. There's been some confusion over the status of the 2016 Horsham Aerodrome Master Plan, which was rejected by this council, I think in September 2016. It's been given different names along the way. And that becomes an issue because it changes the status of what was rejected to accepted, well, to not accepted, but... a different weighting is put on it depending on the name. I don't think operational safety is particularly controversial, Mr. Mayor, so I don't believe I need to speak to that point any further. The long-term vision and future role, the north-south runway, Mr. Mayor, is 999 metres long. It's the most significant north-south runway in all of the Wimmera. It's the one that's potentially able to be extended to cater for heavy aircraft and also be an emergency landing field for significant aircraft. Stall is landlocked by trees. Other aerodromes in the area with a north-south or similar runway don't have the capacity that we've got. So, you know, if the Prime Minister wants to fly in here and there's a strong northerly wind, or if we're running firebombing air operations and it's a strong northerly wind, well, there are times when we need a northerly runway at a particular length, and the heavier the aircraft, the more runway that's needed. Horsham certainly needs extending. That's a different story, but it's the only one in the region that has that significant capability. The last point, Mr. Mayor, I think we it costs us nothing to specify 1.6%. My understanding of the rules is it's 1.6%. And if there's already something in the way, like a building, then 2%'s okay. But look, if we, I'm happy if someone wants to amend it at a later stage, but I believe at the moment it should sit at 1.6. That's my understanding of the rules. And it's based on a significant career in aviation. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Councillor Robinson. Councillor Grimble.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. Look, I'm happy to support the motion put up by Councillor Robinson that acknowledges aviation expertise and also acknowledge the aviation expertise that's provided this council a series of reports into the ongoing protection of the aerodrome, which is really, really important. I know, Mr. Mayor, that this important work is important also to get right, and the aerodrome, as I thought, was reasonably secure, but it appears to be vulnerable to a point where myself, as a custodian of the community asset, I have a responsibility to make sure that we protect the aerodrome under no questions asked, that it can be developed unconstrained in all directions. And I think that to me was a little bit vague and a little bit grey, particularly in the early times around the bypass planning. And I saw the aerodrome as very vulnerable, and hence back in 2015 to pull a handbrake on to make sure we're doing this work and do it very thoroughly. So appreciate the patience and consistency and the work trying to work out what is the best long-term solution for the aerodrome. Mr. Mayor, I've said this before, and we get hung up about what might be the needs of the aerodrome long-term, and I'm not too particularly fussed about whether we need runways of 1,800 metres or whether we need a new terminal or what we do need. My view is very simplistic. We should be able to put a dot on the aerodrome and draw a circle around it and say that is a no-go zone to unacceptable development, which allows the aerodrome to extend, whether it be in 5 years, 10 years, 50 years. But we have a responsibility to make sure that we have that capacity for the aerodrome. We actually don't know what changes will happen in the next beyond 20 years. We can certainly look into a crystal ball and know that aircraft are getting faster, they're requiring longer runways. We see the change in firefighting and the use of aerial support aircraft. We also know that the air ambulance flies in on a regular basis, and that aircraft is also getting a lot bigger and faster and requires some changes to our aerodrome. It also involves also correcting the pavement strength so we can take the capacity of these large aircraft. Mr. Mayor, I'm not too hung up about the detail of the needs of the aerodrome, but what I've been very consistent on is to make sure that whatever we do, this council must leave the aerodrome in a position where it can develop unconstrained by unacceptable or incompatible development. And I believe if we get that part right, the rest can follow with later planning, and I think it's so important to get that right.
Councillor Grimble. Any speakers against the recommendation? Are there any other speakers? Councillor Clark.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor. I'm a little concerned about the 2 or 1.6. I don't have enough knowledge to know whether that's right or whether it's going to constrain anything in the future or not. The rest I don't have a problem with. This is one of our most important facilities for this town, and we really need, and for the region, and we really need to make sure that it's appropriate and that it is designed to a Code 3 level so that we can take bombers and with the climate change that we're having, longer, hotter summers, we really need to make sure that our airport is able to take bombers coming in, refuelling, filling up and taking off. It's going to be a major issue. Having been the recipient of the air ambulance twice, I know how important it is to have a good, safe runway, especially in the middle of the night in a storm when you're landing. So we need to make sure that this facility is protected into the future. I don't have a problem with that at all. I really would have liked to have had more discussion on the 1.62 before we come into this chamber so that I fully understand what it means for the aerodrome moving forward. But the rest of it, I don't have a problem with. I think it's really important that we protect this facility.
Thank you, Councillor Clark. Any other speakers? I've got to say, I'm a bit cautious about changing the number 2 from the 2 to 1.6 because I don't have the technical expertise. I appreciate and acknowledge Councillor Robertson's view and also acknowledge Councillor Mr Martin's view and also two young fellows that have been working with us. The rest of it I'm quite happy to support. So I'm a bit unsure about that this present moment, but I do reinforce, I agree with what's been said. Aeroplane airfields are expensive things to shift, and it's important to get it in the right place and to be looking into the future. And we are seeing things change in aviation. I think it was only a few weeks ago we heard of the plane going from America to Sydney in one hop, and when you see those enormous firefighting planes they're now using in different parts of the country, we need to be ahead of the game, and also for those things we know and we don't know. I was interested to read the discussion about Code 3 or Code 4, which relates to the size of aeroplanes. And a voice says, well, why wouldn't you make it 4 just to allow for those future things? But I think that'll be determined as we move into the next stage. And the community have their opportunity to have their say as well. Obviously, if you're having bigger planes coming to Horsham, we want to make sure they're flying in the right direction, not to impact the community, particularly as far as noise. And so I imagine in the next stage of work, the community will have an opportunity to have their say about that, as will all the people who have an interest in this important piece of infrastructure.
Mr Mayor, if it pleases you, I can offer a solution to the query that you've both got in relation to the 1.6 versus 2%.
So let me sum up, Councillor Robinson, because I probably am speaking against your motion. I am concerned about it, so you will get another go. I'm happy to support this tonight, except for that one little thing which I've stubbed my toe on, so I'll leave it there for now. And Councillor Robinson, before you do, are there any other speakers?
Thank you, Mr Mayor. Mr Mayor, look, I have no problems amending that to read the minimum slope as specified by the aviation authorities and put in brackets 2%, the 1.6% that can be resolved later. Look, we don't have to pick that now. We're not at that stage. So my suggestion is that we reword it to represent the minimum. And, Mr Mayor, the purpose of ensuring that we get the lowest figure is that determines the approach and departure slope of the aircraft, and under some weather conditions, instrument flight rules, if you can't see the runway or you can't track down a particular slope, you don't get to land. You have to go around, go somewhere else. In the context of an air ambulance fixed-wing flight, that might mean someone does not get transported to hospital in a timely fashion, and you're losing lives or extending long-term injuries because people didn't get to the right hospital in time. So it's important that we get it to the
minimum.
I don't think we have to nail it right now, as long as maybe both percentages are a reference to me, sort of.
What we might do, Councillor Robertson, I probably think that the best way to deal with this is as an amendment. So I think someone needs to move an amendment. So we just debated what Councillor Robertson's originally moved, and Councillor Gould second.
Mr Mayor, I'm not sure that you can take an amendment which has gone through the debate. Just a procedural issue.
Okay. So what we might do is, Councillor, are you happy to that alteration?
If it addresses the concerns of the councillors around the table, I think the explanation is reasonably clear in my mind, so I'm happy to support that slight change of wording.
So before we put the vote on, I'm happy to invite any questions. Does anybody have any questions? Does anybody understand what's going on? So we've got the revised words there. I think you've summed that up pretty well, Councillor Robertson. Put the motion. All those in favour? Against? That's carried.